Mike Malevsky and Lee Hendrickson interviewed Luke Folt, Assistant Superintendent for Business Operations for the Mat-Su Borough School District, on Friday, February 27th. Enjoy the recording. Luke, you've been here in the Mat-Su Borough School District for... Tell us how long.
This is my third year.
Third year, right. Mm-hmm. And time flies. Do you have that feeling? Because I remember when you first arrived.
Yeah, you know, it's been a great transition. My wife and I came over from Kodiak Island, where both of us kind of grew up and,
right.
and returned after college to live as adults. And it's been 3 years, and it has flown by. Yeah. A lot has happened at the school district, and it seems like, you know, once we're done with one budget, we're moving on to doing the financial audit or preparing the CAFR, or, you know, things don't stop at the school district. And I think that's kind of a common misconception. When I tell people about my job and the work I do for the school district, they always ask, oh, what do you do in the summertime? What are your plans? And we really, that's, you know, some of the busiest time of the year for us as we wrap up our fiscal year and all of the summer projects that come along with a growing school district and accommodating that growth from 1 year to the next. So,
do you have a moment there when you finish up a budget? And by finish up, I would assume that you have completed the budget, it has been presented, school board has liked it, you have it passed through to the point where it's being funded, the assembly has looked at it and said yes, whatever. Is there a moment there where you can celebrate at least?
Yeah, there's little spots in there. There's absolutely, you know, and that's a funny question, because my staff and I just celebrated recently, and it wasn't a major milestone, but it was just preparing the preliminary budget for the school board to deliberate and look at the information and consider what they want to do in terms of a next step. So just compiling all that information and putting it in front of them to say, here's what we have. This is what it looks like for next fiscal year.
Right.
You've got 2 months to determine what you want to present to the borough assembly. You know, because there's all sorts of dates and timelines that drive all of this. And so once we get it compiled and prepared in a manner in which the school board can effectively make decisions, for that takes a lot off our shoulders and is a kind of a point to celebrate.
Right. So as someone who works with faculty at the university, helping them design curriculum for delivery online, I'm always curious, like, how do you present information so your audience will understand it? So how do you think about the budget when you're preparing it for the school board so that they can understand it?
Another great question. You know, I don't know if I've got this totally figured out, but I try to look for the questions that I receive after mm-hmm. I present information lets me know whether or not people are understanding the point that I'm trying to get across. But I've also been doing this for just over 10 years. And in both school districts and university setting, although I didn't present much in the university that in which I worked, but you always have to try to communicate these complex ideas or processes to an audience who has a broad range of knowledge on the topic, perhaps. And it's really, that is difficult. There's a seven-member school board with a student representative, and our job is to really make sure that everyone understands it at that
right.
level to where
they can make good decisions.
Make good decisions, absolutely.
Right.
So what we've done is we've, you know, and it might drive an accountant crazy if they were looking at it, but we've prepared things by saying, you know, here's our deficit. These are the contributing factors. And just a detailed bulleted list that doesn't show a debit or credit trial balance by any means, or doesn't show a balance sheet view of it, but or an income statement view of it, but just gives people an idea of this changed state revenue, this changed the local contribution. You know, there's different components, and we can and just putting it in that order and then adding up all the totals. And I think that sometimes is the best way to just describe what's mm-hmm. changed from year over year. And a lot of times we look at year over year changes to just help them arrive at, okay, that was our balanced budget, and this is what we'll be looking at in the future.
Well, one of the things that I've noted, certainly in Juneau this year, because of a concern for less money coming in, that there's been a tendency to, say, step back and look at changing things dramatically. I know that year to year, the school district, you have established programs, and being that the district is as large as it is, it's hard to change the whole direction with programs, et cetera. Do you see this year as being potentially a lot different, requiring more severe course changes in the way you fund your operations because of what's happening statewide?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always our goal as a school system, and when we're tasked with administration of that school system, and that's where my influence lies, not necessarily on the curriculum or education side, but really how can we, limit the disruption to students and families in our system. We try to prepare for, times like this. I mean, we have a fund balance that we hold in reserve specifically so that we can, create a little bit of a buffer. If there is a downturn in revenue in any one particular year, we have the ability to, and this is a best practice of government finance in general, is just having a fund balance reserve to where you can rely on it in times of scarcity. And so that's what we've done. I think we'll be okay if it's a 1 to 2 year deal in terms of the decline in oil prices and the state's own economic forecast. But if it extends beyond that, I think that the board's going to have to make some really tough decisions, and they're going to need to hear from the community.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the big picture things or ideas you need the school board to particularly look at with this year's budget?
Well, excuse me. This year's budget's interesting. It's really what we've presented in terms of a preliminary budget, and that preliminary budget, I think what I'd like to communicate to the listening audience is all of our budget documents and presentations are online. They're accessible on our website, and we make it a point to do that so that everyone can participate to the extent that they want to, and that everything's transparent. I mean, our preliminary budget's over 200 pages, and so you can really pore through in detail to see what's there. But what we're asking the board to do is just take a look at the deficit, and that's basically a result of flat revenue from the state. And I say flat revenue, but we have several factors, and it's a complicated formula that kind of gets us there. But we have enrollment growth. We have an increase in the BSA, which was established under House Bill 278. And then we pulled out one-time monies from the governor. That was also in House Bill 278, but in his State of the Budget address, he really stripped that out and said that's the cut that we need from education. And so within our preliminary budget, we removed that from the revenue sources. And then there's also this complicated process in which each year our minimum required local contribution is tied to the state's assessment of the borough's tax value determination. And so when that increases, the borough's asked to kick in more and the state pulls back funding. And that's just a result of us growing as a borough. Right. So there's lots of different factors in place. Mm-hmm. What we're asking them to look at is, out of all of these contributing factors and everything that's changed from last year to this upcoming year in terms of both revenue changes and then expenses as well, increased expenses, we're saying, are you comfortable with this deficit? What would you like to do with this deficit? Would you like to reduce expenses? Because we have no taxing authority. We have no ability to increase revenue. So they're really stuck with, do you want to decrease expenses, or do you want to, how much fund balance are you comfortable using in the current year or for the upcoming year?
Okay.
And so they have to determine that, and it's based on borough code. They have to deliver a balanced budget to the borough assembly by April. So
Okay. That's
the timeline that we're working on.
So the really, really high-level thing I realized we didn't ask to give people a concept of how complex the system you're working with. How many students are in the district?
There's 18,000 students.
And how many employees in the district?
There's about 2,200 employees.
2,200, okay. And what is the total size of the budget you're presenting?
The budget that we're presenting is $240
million. $240 million. So, and you're the big elephant in the borough budget. the whole Baroque.
We are, you know, and sometimes we get a lot of, you know, we have to constantly, over and over explain, you know, it's not, sometimes the school district can, and I want to be careful about how I phrase this, but sometimes the school district can be looked at in any community, because this isn't just Mat-Su, this is also my experience in Kodiak, in that borough down there. But school districts can look as though they're a burden in some sense, because they school operating schools is an expensive endeavor. It's not, it is one of the most costly things that the borough government's responsible for. That said, we constantly have to explain that our budget is not a result of it's the total funds that we receive in terms of revenue is not just taxpayer dollars in this mm-hmm. community. That results of about 24% of our revenue. The vast majority of our revenue comes directly from the state. And so that's something that we're constantly communicating. And there's a lot of different ways to look at that. But even with the tax bill summary that residents receive, we've gone kind of back and forth with the borough about how do we make this a little bit easier to understand? Because the way we see it being presented now, it appears as though taxpayers are supporting schools. The vast majority of their local dollars is going to the school system, when in fact it's about 42%. So we've kind of gone back and forth on that too.
And as you were talking, I was realizing, I was making a quick comparison in my own head to say monies that went for people who are working on the North Slope, people who may work on the North Slope but spend their two off somewhere south out of the state of Alaska. The monies that, and this is an employee-heavy operation, that money gets spent in the community.
That's right.
Right. I mean, if someone, if monies go and profit is made by a company that may have a store here, but that store is part of a conglomerate that has monies that flow out of the state, that larger picture, I think, is an important one for people to understand, that there is money coming into the borough from the state that then is funding a whole variety of the support services and restaurants and everything else that's here.
Mike, I couldn't agree more. And I think that the best person that I've heard explain that concept is our superintendent, Dr. Promo. She's presented that to the Mat-Su Business Alliance. I believe it was last year, but she did basically a speech on it. What is the economic impact of the school
sure.
system? And I know she's an educator and she comes from that background, but she truly could be an economist. I mean, she laid it out in very clear terms that all of these dollars that we see coming in to this community, and granted, most of the money is coming from outside. It's coming from the state and to some extent federal grants and programs outside of the general fund. But that's all being recirculated through this community over and over again. And then we have different things that come up. You know, we don't just see our own students all the time. We host events. We hosted state hockey a couple weeks ago, and that brings people to the community. That helps with our hotels, our restaurants. There's a lot of good things that come from having a school system. And you know, we're not we have to deliver that message as well.
Sure.
Know?
Right. There's a couple things. I remember Mike was on the school board back in the early 2000s, I think 1999 to 2005. So
right.
We talked a lot about school district stuff back in the day, you know. But I remember one of the things when you're looking at the school district budget that was sort of surprising is how hard it is to cut anything in the budget, because some huge percentage, I forget it was 80 or 90%, is all salaries. You know, you're mostly paying for teachers with that budget. Is that?
Yes. I mean, that's another good point. I feel like I need to explain a lot about the budget, but I appreciate the way this conversation is going, because the questions you're asking are getting us to really okay. an explanation of it. But 85% of our budget is salaries and benefits. You're exactly right. And so when you look at programmatic expenses and whether we want to have STEM in this school or, you know, ROTC at Wasilla High School. I mean, that's salaries and benefits. Those programs are people. We're a human resource organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, one of the other things here that seems to be important when people are talking about money, talking about programs, schools, is the whole point of it, how you can compare expenses to results, and the results in this case of a school district's activities is an educated population of students, that students are able to take away something that's worthwhile. And do you have any way, or how do you do that? I've listened to a superintendent speak to these issues of trying to point out that if you spend money here, there's a correlation between the money and the results. Do you think about that in any way?
Yeah. One of the requirements, we provide our budget in a format that's consistent with the Meritorious Budget Award requirements. In fact, we received that award as part of our budget presentation. And it's requirements, and it's about 10 pages of checklist requirements that you have to have in this budget document, which we've been doing for the past couple years. But one of them is, excuse me, and it's by the Association of School Business Officials International, but one of the requirements is that you have to tie it to student achievement to some extent. You have to tie your expenses and your operations and your delivery to student achievement. And we do that to some extent, you know, within the document. We look at, you know, the state assessments, and the state assessments are changing, however, but we look at what's being done, you know, with our students and the state assessments. It was the SBA scores compared to the rest of Alaska. We look at our students and how they're achieving in say the SAT or the ACT, and compare that to the average Alaskan student and then the national average. And so we try to use assessments as much as we can to show that, yeah, we're delivering a good product here, the MATSU. Mm-hmm. And when we do demonstrate that data, it shows that our students are above both the Alaska and the national standard in those areas. You really have to have a standard assessment, you know, and I don't want to get too much into this because it's kind of outside my area.
That's for another person.
And so I just do everything outside of instruction. I guess when you ask about my job, it's business and operations, and it's all those things outside of instruction. But I sit around educators enough to be able to talk to some extent, but I'm not the expert by any means. But yeah, you have to have a standard assessment, and that's what we try to do, is just lay out the information in the standard assessments that they currently have and demonstrate to our stakeholders that, yes, when your students arrive, they're getting the very best in terms of programs and education as possible.
Because that's going to be the interesting further discussion. People, want to, I think many listeners and observers of the scene would like very much to be able to say, I'm thinking also of, say, the school board. If the school board is faced with making a decision one way or the other about what would be an appropriate program to enhance or to reduce, there's always looking and saying, how much money is going to this, and how can we gauge what's happening? So I can see that what you're doing in presenting the financial picture is critically important, but is part of a team, because without the rest of it, without the rest of an assessment and a comparison of program impacts, you can't really do very much.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I think your experience on the school board gives you some pretty good insights in this area. But yeah, you're exactly right. The school board has to take into account a lot of different information. You know, they want to hear from parents, they want to hear from the students, they want to see evidence of the learning. I mean, so we try to do all that within our school board meetings. We typically have an administrative report. Our last administrative report was the PACE program at Burchell High School, and that's a new program for us this year. So they wanted to get administration from that new program out to the school board meeting and kind of explain, like, what's happening, how many students are being served, where are these students going, you know, when are they going to be back, entered back into their traditional school. And so all of those things are part of the discussion and kind of outside of maybe perhaps a budget presentation that I make, but it helps them say, okay, yeah, that's how much we contributed to that program, and we want to see some evidence that it's actually doing what we wanted it to do and intended to do.
Well, we've been. Let's circle back to your work.
I was going to ask a question about that.
Okay, go for it.
I ask the weird questions. What's the most fun part of the job?
You know, it'll drive my wife crazy. I don't know if she's listening this morning, but I'm very much an order. I like order, uh-huh. And I like being able to complete a job and get things done and, you know, get things off my checklist. And I think the best thing about this job is that if you do it well and you do it right, then things balance at the end of the day, that things are in order and you can really tighten things up and make an efficient, smooth running system. And I love that part of the job. I really find that rewarding.
Good. Yeah. Good. That's good to have in someone in your role.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. We did a leadership training and a profile session of how people perceive each one of the leaderships, and it was a professional development for us. But my profile came back with my constraints is that I'm too much in that realm of order and balance and all of those things. But I think that everyone agreed that that's probably good to have in this position.
Oh, yes. Well, so my swing back into what you're doing here, specifically within your domain, is what is next? You've described that we have a preliminary budget. And just for listeners who aren't as familiar with the whole thing, we're now about to enter March. And I know the next couple of months are pretty heated in terms of waiting to see what's coming down from Juneau, and then doing the presentation and in a very focused way, having the assembly and the school board work together to finalize this. What's the end date, your target date for finishing up this next budget?
Well, the end date for us ultimately is July 15th, 2015. So that by that date, the state requires that we submit our school budget in a balanced budget to the state. It's also a requirement that it be balanced by July 15th. And that is, so that's 15 days into the fiscal year, but that's their date. And so we have to have, you know, all of the legislative action and what comes out of that. We have to build that into the budget, and then we have to take what the borough has after their deliberations, and they come up with a local contribution. We have to build that into the budget. And then there's other adjustments that we can make. You know, the budget is really just a spending plan, and so it's really imperfect. And you know, a day after you present it and put it into place, it's really outdated. I mean, so that's the other concept that we kind of have to explain time and time again, is that it's an evolving document. It's a dynamic document. A living document, if you will. So as we move through the next couple months, we'll also learn more things about our expenditures. And so, for instance, the health insurance renewal, what's the renewal going to be like? And we go out to market for our property insurance, and what's that change going to be? And so some of these things, and then can we change our forecast on energy? You know, what are we paying to heat and power our schools? Is there an adjustment that we can make there? You know, some of the things that are more defined or concrete in expenditures are, you know, our staffing adjustments, because that's based on a salary schedule, and given our current staffing, we were able to figure out to some extent what that's going to look like in the coming year. But there are these other things that could change. So all of that, as we proceed through the next couple of months, we try to fine-tune it, get it as accurate as possible, and then incorporate those changes in revenue based on the assumptions that we've made thus far. And then we have to get it to the state by July 15th.
Okay.
Balanced.
Right. That's right. And that's a requirement of all 53 school districts, is they submit balanced budgets to the state by July 15th.
And when you were creating this preliminary budget, you couldn't figure out a way to make it balanced without either going to the fund reserve or cutting expenses. And you realize that's not really your decision to make. It's the school board, the policy. They say the plan, and you make sure it happens in the budget.
That's exactly right. And a great way to explain it. And that's kind of why we celebrated, because we said, that's not our job. You know, we're done with the preliminary budget, but there's still some decisions that need to be made by the school board. So they have to allocate reserves or they have to cut expenditures. But you know what, for the time being right now, my team, we're done. We've presented what we believe a very accurate picture for FY16. So, but you know, as they, once they decide what they want to do, we've got to go back and do some work to prepare that then for those, for the borough assembly. And once the borough assembly decides what they want to do and the legislature adjourns, we have to incorporate those changes and then bring it back to the school board for final adoption. So, wow.
So this year has been, as we note, just looking out the window, a different kind of winter. Warm, and I suspect that the costs for a variety of factors, even snow removal, heating, et cetera, were a bit different this year, and in a good way. You had to spend less in that direction.
Yes. You know, it's kind of funny. When we do, you know, not only do we save money, but our maintenance staff love it when it doesn't snow. Because we do a lot of snow removal in-house. Sure. We do have contracts for the Northern Valley, but we do a lot of snow removal in-house. So, you know, those late night snowstorms, those guys are out early, very early. Yeah. And when we start our meeting, sometimes we start with good things. And when we don't have snow, our maintenance crew always reminds us that that's a good thing. But yeah, in terms of cost savings, we realize cost savings. That's the other part of, you know, when I explain that it's a living dynamic document is, so many things impacted, and Mike, what you just said is that weather, you know, of all things, can impact our operating budget, and so we have to constantly update. What we do is throughout the school year, we do revisions with the school board. So we just did our winter revision in December. They'll see another revision this spring for things like that. So based on what we are actually spending, we'll potentially reduce budget line items. But the way we forecast our utilities is we use a 3-year average of usage so that we can kind of normalize for some of those. You know, if we had a really bad weather, or we had maybe not bad, but a lot of snow in 1 year where we, you know, had a lot of expenses, or it was unusually cold, then we would be spending more in that year. And then, you know, conversely, in a year like this year, we'd be spending less. So what we try to do is a 3-year average of usage to come up with a baseline for an average to attribute what we believe is the most accurate projection for rates. And so we use that as kind of the calculation factor there. Okay.
So how are you doing on the budget for this year, for FY15? Are you projected to finish in the black or with a little surplus, or are you in the red right now? Or
we're not in the red. We're actually operating a balanced budget in the current year. Typically, what we have in place are some budgetary controls, and we explain this in our budget document as well. It's, you know, one of those requirements that's asked for through the program that we're participating in. But one of the requirements that is in there is that we have to explain our budget system, our financial software system, and the controls we have in place as an organization to let you know, stakeholders know that we're really being good custodians of public funds. And so one of the ways that we do that is we have budget controls in our financial system in which no one's able to overexpend their total budget. So, you know, Palmer High School, Colony High School, principals are responsible for those budgets. And we have, you know, system controls in place to where they can't overexpend. And so there's all these different, you know, not only schools, but departments are also like that. So we have some safeguards to make sure that overall as a system, we're not spending more than we, you know we have. And what happens is when you have those safeguards built in, you typically have some money left over at the end of the year, because every budget is either, you know, completely spent, not overspent, or has some residual funds. And so as the year progresses, we can anticipate, we look more closely at that, look to see exactly what is the residual fund and how much are we going to end the year with. And that's also something that we try to manage as well in the springtime.
Okay. Right. Well, we are down to one last question, and then we'll be finishing up here. So go for it, Lee.
Well, I was just wondering about the residual funds, because, I mean, I remember when you were on the board, they all went back to the borough, and then there was some split where the borough kept some and the district got to keep some. So if there's residual funds at the end of this year, what happens to them?
That's a good question. This year, and this is all based on borough code, and it's different in different areas, but based on borough code, and Mike just cut me off if I'm speaking too long because I know we're on it.
No, go ahead. Okay. You have a couple minutes.
Okay. Based on borough code, and this has changed, it used to be that 50% of any increase in our year-end fund balance went to the borough. So it lapsed back to the borough, the Mat-Su borough. And we retained 50%. But 2 years ago, the borough assembly changed that policy It was a result of some state statute that was being put out there as maybe this is how we can make it more predictable for schools. And it was, you know, another complicated thing. But the end result was the state official said, figure it out locally. And that's what we did. And the borough assembly said, okay, we'll cut back that lapse requirement to 25%. And that really was a recognition that they support us typically from year to year. About 25% of our revenue comes from the borough. And so we saw that at the time as, you know, being a fair-minded compromise. And so right now what happens is if there's an increase in any year-end fund balance, 25% of it laps back to the borough. That said, last year they did not give us an increase in the appropriation, and they did not require us to lapse back any funds. So it was that's something that they have to work with, you know, year to year, that they could potentially say, you know, we don't have a lot of new revenue coming in, so we're going to just let you hold on to what you have so that you can make it through next year.
Okay, yeah. Great. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Did we miss anything?
I think you guys asked great questions. I'm surprised we're already through the interview. It was a, you know, thanks for inviting me. I had a great time. Yeah, it's
great.
I like your new studio, too.
So. Thanks.
Yeah.
Lee Hendrickson and Mike Malevsky are on the morning show interviewing Luke Pope, who is
assistant superintendent
for business operations for the Mat-Su Borough School District.
Thank you, Luke. Thank you.